Hello, everybody. We are hyped up and ready for this part one of two part episodes here with us. Welcome to Off the Tape. This is your host, Spencer, episode 22. We are going to be diving in here with some World Junior talk, and we are excited to talk about every hockey fan's Christmas special program that comes on this time of year. As I mentioned, this is episode 22, so going along with our little fun of naming a hockey player, I'm going to switch things up a little bit here. And, you know, it's not exactly World Juniors or an NHL player, but she definitely has some good international hockey experience.
Whoa.
She was inducted on the Canada's Walk of Fame in 2014. She is a Hockey Hall of Famer, inducted in 2019.
Is it Celine Dion?
No. She herself has won 4 gold medals in the Olympics and a silver gold medal in the Olympics as well there. Hailing from Shaunavon, Saskatchewan, Canada, I'm talking about the great number 22 for Team Canada, Haley Wickenizer.
Hey. I don't know who that is.
That's a solid pick. Oh, yeah, it's okay.
Joining for our episode is our co-host, Steph, and our editor, Tibet. How's it going, lads?
Yo.
Going well over here. Slightly disappointed in Tibet, but it's okay. He's here to learn as the editor and edit things, not really speak to them. But I love that pick, Spencer. I like where you went with it. I guess before I get to Tibet's number 22, because we all know he Googled the best one available of all time.
Of course.
Yeah, I am going with Ottawa legend Eric Condra, one of my favorite players to ever suit up in an Ottawa Senators uniform. And we all know that legendary day that Eric Condra decided to miss a wide open net against the Boston Bruins.
Oof.
And put the puck right through the crease.
That's an understatement.
That's all I got, really. That's where I'm going to end it. That's Eric Condra's career in a nutshell. But sorry, Tibet, what's your number 22?
Well, I've been thinking about this guy for the past week. Every day. I don't know. He's been on my mind. Mike Bossy, number 22, Montreal, former Montreal Canadian. Now, no! Funny thing about... Oh, my God. I messed that one up. Islander, he's from Montreal. Funny thing about him is he was born on the 22nd. Does it have anything to do with his number? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Who knows? We'll never find out. But he did win 2 Stanley Cup cup things.
No.
And he scored the... No, he won... Let me finish. He got the 2 scoring goals on the 2 cups in 82
Stanley
and
Cup
83.
Clinching goals.
Yes, your mom is a clinching goal.
We'll have to edit that part out.
What years was that?
82 and 83, buddy.
There you go.
Not a Montreal Canadian.
Probably grew up a Habs fan, though. We'll give you that. But yeah, he was on the team that won back-to-back-to-back-to-back cups with the New York Islanders there in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Little mini dynasty that happened.
50 goals in 50 games, imagine.
I mean, Gretzky did it 50 and 39, so...
Well, you know what? This guy was good too.
That he was.
Yeah, you know, he was quite the boss out there on the ice, you know, being able to demand everything that was going on and about, and leading the team to quite the dynasty in the early of his career and the franchise itself.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, like we've chatted about before, Bossy, his career ended a little early there due to back problems, but still one of the most legendary number 22s. I would say second after Spencer's, of course. I mean, who can outshine Haley Wickenheiser for Canada there?
I know who. His name is Mike Bossy.
No. I have to give it to Haley Wickenheiser, honestly. But I think since we are kind of on the theme of team... Spencer picked a great one because today's theme is talking about the World Juniors and getting into some of the World Junior Hockey Championship rosters that have come out over the past weekend and kind of getting into that. So I think I am going to let Spencer lead us through some of this because he is the most knowledgeable with a lot of the younger players that are out there. So, Spencer, we're heading in, and we're looking at Division B today, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're going to be, like I said, it's part one, part two. Today's episode, we're going to talk about Division B. You know, we're going to be talking about a little bit of the five teams there in here: Austria, Czechia, Russia, Sweden, and Team USA.
Yeah, I mean, heavy, heavy hitters in that group, you could say, at least compared to Group A. So it's going to be kind of interesting as we go through them. And, you know, COVID has affected one of these teams quite heavily. We're going to get into that. But I guess we could start with, let's start with Austria. We'll go in alphabetical order here. And yeah, what do we have to say about this team? I it's kind of the team that's expected to, you know, end up at the rear of this group. But hey, you know, you don't come to these tournaments to just lay down for other teams and lose. So, you know, any chance that they maybe steal a point off of a team like a Czechia, or what do you think?
Well, you know, they're going to have to go full Arnold here and really make a, you know, big result out of American Dream and hope to be able to finish out on top there and all. But, you know, they are, you know, the one thing they do have is that they are being led by, you know, superstar talent Marco Rossi.
Yep.
So very big name there, so long as COVID hasn't hit him too hard, hopefully. But from what I've been reading on reports, is that he's doing fairly well. It's, you know, for Austria here, I believe that they were the team that won Div 2, Group 2 Div 1A. A. Like, the team that basically got promoted from last year. Yeah. You know, making its way up here and everything. So it's, you know, it's, they're not expected to dominate, you know, as much as they can, being Austria that they are and everything. It's going to be interesting to see how about they can go here and everything. But they do have, like I mentioned, a star-studded talent, Marco Rossi, in the team as well. And, you know, a lot of their players are just playing junior leagues over in Europe there. So it's not like some of the other countries here. A lot of their players are realistically playing, you know, in men's leagues, like in the SHL in Sweden or Liga over in Finland or even the KHL in Russia. So it'll just be a little interesting to see how they can go about here when they're playing, you know, they're typically playing against junior players, but other players are a little more skillful because of that. I think one player also to keep an eye on potentially here is going to be Marco Kasper, who's an 0-4 playing on the team.
Yeah, and I think he's actually the only one in the group, which is an 0-4, which is very interesting. And it's not like his birthday is one of those January, February. It's April. So, you know, he's kind of already a third of the way through the year. It's kind of cool to see that year pop up in 2020-2021.
Yeah, so, you know, they do have a lot going for themselves. As I mentioned, them being promoted from Div 1A last year. So they have a lot of, a little bit of promise there with a lot of their returning players, but you know, it's all wait and see. And yeah, like you said, it's, they could probably be able to maybe pull out like a point or an overtime loss to against Czechia. But, you know, you're Russia, Sweden, you're like, those are just some powerhouse clubs right there, you know?
Yeah. And I was looking at some of their goalies there. I mean, they didn't have the most amazing results and statistics looking at them as they came up. So it's not like they have that goalie that would potentially steal them a game where you could say, okay, well, this guy previously had a pretty good run and maybe he does steal them a game. It really will just depend on, yes, maybe him having or elevating himself in a game to steal that point. But I think we all expect them to come in fifth place. Right, Tibet?
Yes. Definitely going to come in fifth place. No less, no more.
Well, in the division, yes, there.
Yep.
But yeah, no doubt, like all three of their goalies, you know, they're all, like you mentioned, you know, they're all basically backups on their respective regular season teams this year. So,
yeah,
you know, go about what they can and, you know, overall enjoy the fun. Take in the experience of the isolation in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada for this tournament. And,
yeah,
you know, going about that and have some fun with the boys, you know, it's always a good time.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that I think after Austria, you kind of get into looking at the Czech team and going, okay, well, you know, in previous years, this is a country that's won this before. Why don't we see them have better performances over the last 4, 5, 6 years, even decade, you know, where it's actually been approximately, what, 20 years since that golden run that they had. You would think that some of these kids now maybe would have been inspired by that or being born with parents that had played then. And it just doesn't seem like they can give the top three teams in this division a run for their money.
Well, that's a thing for, you know, Czechia there, right? Where the men's team won the 1998 Winter Olympic Games, and then the junior team won in 2000 and 2001. Yeah. So it's like, you know, in a span of less than 3 years, you just had three very big championship tournaments for this young, or not young, but this, you know, upcoming looking powerhouse team. And like you say, you know, all the players playing these days now are born just after that. So they're kind of groomed into just afterwards of what you hope to see. But, you know, you look at this team and, you know, they've only mustered one win each of the last two World Juniors. And only one win in and only two of the last seven World Juniors, they've only mustered one win. Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry. That's regulation wins, actually.
I mean, even then, it's just been a rough ride for the team in general, right? I kind of go down the list and I kind of say, okay, well, Jan Bednar, their goalie there, that is sort of the most recognizable name besides maybe their one of the guys, I think that's returning, Radek Muzik. He plays in the Swedish Hockey League or the Swiss Hockey League. And it's just, you kind of go, okay, well, which one of these kids is, you kind of look down the list and look at some of their statistics and it just doesn't show that this is a team that can even be in fourth. Like, this might be a fifth place team if they don't all come together and play well. They're a young team. They're not as young as Austria, but, you know, Austria could very well give them a run for their money if this generation just doesn't live up to certain expectations that the Czechs have, which is remaining in the top group each and every year in and out, right?
Yeah, no, they're certainly going to get their money's worth with Jan Mysak as well.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the Montreal Canadiens draft pick, you know, he was playing in the OHL last year at the Hamilton, well, he switched over and played with the Hamilton Bulldogs last year. But even though he's playing in the top Czech league, you know, he hasn't exactly been lighting it up there. But at least you could see rounds, just over a third of the team are playing in the top Czech league. Yeah. Again, it's not the most recognizable Czech league that there is and everything, but it's, you know, it's noteworthy to see. You know, again, they are having a lot of returning players as well, which is pretty good. But I think, honestly, you could just look at them and be like, yeah, you know, here's likely, you know, fourth to even potentially fifth there if Austria is really able to get on them. Like, that's going to be the big game. It's going to be, like, basically for Czech Republic and Austria. When those two happen to play each other... just trying to see. Yeah, and they actually happen to play each other on December 31st. So what a New Year's Eve matinee that will be. Honestly, that could be like, right? Last games against each other. Whoever loses will finish fifth. Bank it right now. That's what's going to happen there, kids.
I think that's a pretty solid prediction to have. I mean, there are other names on this list. Like, I know Jaromir Pitlick, for example. He was drafted by New Jersey at one point. I don't know if he was a third or a fourth rounder. So it's not like there isn't talent which wasn't drafted into the NHL. It's just, you know, some of these are 2000s and 2001s, and we haven't even heard their names in some of the depth charts of some other teams. And I just find that that's where Czech players have been going the last 10 years. You never hear of there hasn't really been a draft where it's been three or four huge names from Central Europe, you know, excluding Germany, where, you know, it's a Slovakia or a Czechia. It's almost as if those golden generations just didn't influence parents to put their kids into hockey and maybe increase the ability of a country to have, you know, more talent. I don't know. It's just the way it is. And yeah, I think our prediction is fourth for that team. We'll see.
Yeah, no, definitely a little more wait and see on Czechia there. And, you know, but, you know, we'll continue moving along here and really dive in now to the real powerhouses of this division and where it's going to be real, real fun and interesting to see how this develops and goes about.
Oh, yeah. And I guess we can get into the Ruski brothers and I guess get into Team Russia here. I mean, good blend of size, skill. They got a little bit of everything. They have, I would say, the best goalie potentially in the tournament potentially.
Oh no, absolutely. Well, these next three teams, right off the bat, right? Russia, you got Askarov. USA, you got Spencer Knight. Excuse me, and then Sweden there, maybe it's wait and see, but, you know, there you have returning goalie Hugo Alnefelt. He's returning, but they also got an outstanding up-and-comer in Jesper Wallstedt as well. Yeah. So it's just like, just for those three goalies alone is just, you know, it'll even make a hooker grow a boner somehow.
Yeah, well, it's just, the team is great. Like, there's nothing, and you know, it's kind of interesting because Russia only has so many returning forwards. They always love to kind of reset, bring in new, and try to maximize the amount of people that they can have at near the top age limit. So it's kind of great to see, you know, I mean, leading the group, you're going to have Rodion Amarov. I forgot where he was drafted. I think it was some garbage city here in Ontario. And then they'll also have Yegor Chinnikov, who was drafted by Columbus. So, you know, they got some pretty good talent there leading them. On the back end is always the question. You know, Russia's always got that high speed, and they love their two-way game. You know, can they contend with Canada? But, yeah, pretty good balance for once in this team. I see some big players there. Like, I see some six-foot guys who are around the 200 mark, which you don't often see with the Russian team, at least in the last decade, but they've been getting bigger and stronger. You know, I think they realized how Canada's big boys are and that they need to compete with that. So you're starting to see an evolution in the Russian team in the World Juniors as well.
Well, even just go back to about their goalie there in Yaroslav Askarov, the 11th overall pick of the Nashville Predators in this most recent NHL draft, 2020. But just to give you an idea, here is, you know, an 18-year-old who's playing in the top Russian league, you know, starting goalie on his team in St. Petersburg in 7 games. He has 1 shutout, 4-3 record. His goals allowed average is 0.96, and his save percentage is 0.962.
Yeah, that's messed up.
That is outstanding numbers right there for an 18. And then again, like he was a backup on the team last year. He got pulled a couple times. He looked shaky. He wasn't stellar in net. But again, even last year, here's an 0-2 goalie. And it's like, yeah, we're grooming him into the role for like this juniors where he's going to take over. And, you know, good luck to the backup and third string even seeing practice time, let alone game time. But no. And then you also have, you know, the best hockey name from the past, this most recent NHL draft as well on their back end. And we could get Tibet and maybe name this guy even.
Ha!
Yeah, I think that we need to test Tibet again. Don't worry, Tibet, you're not going to be eating any hot wings when you do this one. So ha! I'll put it in the chat for
Wait,
you.
Wait, I remember this guy.
Oh.
Yeah, of course, the 20th overall pick by the New Jersey Devils in the 2020 draft.
What's this guy's nationality?
Russian.
Well, he's
We're on Russia.
Russian.
Okay. I don't know. He could have been imported from somewhere. How should I know?
Well, Southern Russia does have a little bit of a mix of, you know, because
he could be Mongolian for all I know.
No, we believe in you, Tibet. You can pronounce it.
Shakir Mukhamadulin.
Mukhamadulin. Mukhamadulin.
I have a joke about this, but I'm not going to say it.
Well, you could say it and just edit it out. And
you got to keep your Turkish jokes to yourself.
But yes, the defenseman who set the KHL record for most points by an 18-year-old in their league's history, I think with 8 now.
Mukhamadulin.
Mukhamadulin, yes.
Mukhamadulin.
But, you know, and they also have Daniil Chayka as well on their back end there. He's projected to go high in the upcoming NHL draft in next year, 2021. He's kind of going on like
that. Too bad we get it, man. You can pronounce Arabic names.
Is he Arabic?
No, he's from southern Russia. They have, where Khabib Nurmagomedov is from?
Oh, okay.
I totally mispronounced Khabib's name just there, but that's fine.
See, and Steph, we had the pleasure of watching Daniil Cheka when he was with the Guelph Storm en route to defeating the 67s in the finals here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, when we went to the game, god damn, those 67s, the PTSD I get from those games. But yeah, we were very fortunate, actually. Yeah,
but, so, yeah, and then, Shakir Muhammad as you mentioned, with their forwards there as well, you know, you have Toronto Marlies draft pick, Rodion Amirov, who's going to be leading the team offensively. You know, you have Vancouver Canucks first-round draft pick and actually recently named captain of the team, Vasily Podkolzin, the 6'4", 203 pounds forward. He's struggling a little bit in the KHL, but this is a tournament that he should dominate at.
Yeah, like he's a big, there's some big boys on that team. Like you see some of those names, like even just looking at Ilya Safonov, like 6'4", 205 down the middle. Like that's a big lad right there.
The vodka treats them well there, boy. Sorry, yeah. Comrade.
Comrade, there it is. Yes, comrade. Don't forget, we no use and the when speak Russian. You gotta keep that in mind. No using and the in English.
Yeah,
but yeah, no. There's some big names here.
Yeah, you know, so it's again, but that's typical Russia, right? Year in, year out, always a lot of players returning, and they just lost. Yep. They got silver last year.
Yeah,
you know, so it's definitely looking pretty good for them. And, it's obviously we could really have a good idea. You know, they haven't really been affected by COVID, but when they've got the best vaccine going around, obviously, they're going to be geared up. And, you know, just as I've heard the stories in the KHL, the juice is coming out from the walls into their system there. They should be one hell of a club to be battling with.
Yeah, I think we'll have to heavily test those Russians to make sure they haven't put some special juices in their vaccines for the players coming over here.
And we'll flip it on from talking about team with that regarding and going to talk about the nation that is very, very having a struggle, very bad struggle. Gee, I cannot talk this morning. Who are struggling quite mightily in Trey Kroner.
Trey Kroner, yeah. Well, I mean, they really do need a vaccine based on the struggles they've been having with COVID-19 in the last couple weeks there.
Tibet, we're talking about Sweden, by the way.
Aki, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I can't tell. I never know if yelling IKEA whenever I hear Sweden is insensitive to Swedish people or not, but let's just hope it's not. So we'll continue on with talking about Sweden, where, yes, the lovely store of IKEA is from. And talk about their struggles with COVID-19 because some big names have bowed out for this team in the last couple of weeks and it's hitting them hard.
Yeah, unfortunately for Sweden here, they've lost four key players in the likes of William Wallander, Carl Henriksson, William Eklunds, and Albin Gru. Where that's been like their top two centermen, a depth forward, and who would have been a top six D-man in there as well. And on top of that, their head coach, assistant coach, video coach, and goalie coach all contracted the virus too, and they were not going forth with the tournaments as well. They have found a new head coach since then, but that is still a big-time loss there. And they actually just announced about an hour ago that they made it. So teams had to get down to 25-man rosters, and Sweden got down to 26, so they had to cut one more guy, and they wound up cutting... As the last guy, it was Helg Grons, which is a major flag because the Los Angeles Kings draft pick there was expected to be, top four D-man for this team going to the tournaments. He was stellar in the tournament last year for Sweden, and they're going to have to really lean on some of the guys in Tobias Bjornfors and Philip Broberg here, and Victor Soderstrom as well. It's Sweden's looking quite disastrous there, you can say.
Yeah, and
we're still 12 days away from the tournament even starting.
Yeah, I mean, Emil Andre, he's expected to be there too. He's a Philly draft pick from this past year, if I recall. So I think that he is one of the defensemen that should be in their top six. But Yeah, there's going to be some interesting line combinations with this team. I think it's going to be a figure it out as you go and hope things click as early as possible.
Talking about the players or the coaching staff with the team?
Everything, spent everything. The whole operation of getting them just into the top three. And I think that's what we were talking about. Like, if the Czechs do put it together and Sweden is just, you know, totally discombobulated and can't get it together, there is a chance there. To bet. Yes, thanks for agreeing with me. Yeah, you know, there is that chance of a team stealing a couple points off of Sweden, and that's where things start to become interesting as you kind of go later in the group. So, yeah, I think that they still have too much talent to fail. They have Lucas Raymond and Alexander Holtz, both who were taken in the top 10 this past year in the 2020 entry NHL draft. You know, they got some other great names. I can't remember where Noel Gundler was taken, but I personally think
he was drafted by Carolina.
Yeah, I think he's slightly underrated. He's a small guy, but I just think he's really shifty and really... We'll see which line he ends up playing on, but I think he's kind of an underrated guy. I think he can chip in and get a couple goals. So, yeah, I don't know. A team that got decimated by COVID, but I still kind of... I expect them to finish third, to be honest, just because of all the things that have happened around the team. It's like, I don't know, Spencer. Do you find this could be a 50-50 thing where either it can bring them all together even more to really try their best to get through it, or it's just going to absolutely go to shit and, you know, they might even start losing points to teams like the Czech and Austria?
Well, I think they're definitely going to be looking at, you know, a lot more difficult tasks of taking down Russia and Team USA there. Yeah. They still have good prospects. A couple of the big names there, as you mentioned, you know, Noel Grundler there up top, but also in the lights too is Alexander Holtz and also Lucas Raymonds. You know, like they're pretty solid on the wings, honestly, still offensively. It's just down the middle, they're going to struggle quite a bit, losing their top two guys. On the back end, you know, and the names that I mentioned there, and Soderstrom, Berglund, you mentioned Andre, and, you know, and your Bjornfort and your Broberg, like they're looking still all right on the fence, but a few of their most of this new coaching staff decisions to cut some players are very questionable. And as we mentioned, you know, between the pipes, you know, they got Hugo Alnefelt, who was a starter for the team last year's tournaments, but also rising prospect Jesper Wallstedt, where Wallstedt was looking to be or is projected to be a mid first round draft pick in this upcoming draft. Also, NHL draft, that is.
Also, how annoying is it that Tampa Bay is the one that drafted Hugo Almfelt? Just looking at it. Yeah, they drafted him in 2019, and it's just, oh my God. It just, I guess it doesn't get any better than that. But, yeah, and from what I remember, right, the World Junior Championships, he was, I think he was 5-1 there. 924 save percentage, 925 save percentage. I'm just looking at Hugo Almfelt last year. So he had a pretty good World Juniors. If he stands on his head, you're right. Maybe he does steal a point or two or a win from one of those top two teams that we project in Russia or the USA.
Well, I think that he can still definitely beat Czechia and Austria there. And then it's... I don't see them finishing... Well, here's the big thing and a good fun fact for you, Tibet.
Ooh.
So, so for Sweden here... again, as we mentioned, for this tournament play, you play all the teams in your division once around robin. Then you move on to the elimination format with the quarters, semis, and the gold medal finals game.
Yep.
Team Sweden here, they're on a 52-game round or 52-game round robin winning streak.
Oh.
They only play between 4 to 5 round robin games of tournaments. They have not lost a game in the round robin since the 2007 tournament.
Well, it is 2020 though, Spencer, so we'll see.
last time they lost in the round robin was a 3-2 overtime loss on December 31st, 2006 to USA.
Jesus.
That's same crazy. Tournament 5 days beforehand was the last time they lost in God damn it. They lost a round robin game in regulation, which was at the hands of Canada 2-0 in December 26, 2006.
Makes sense. But it's Canada.
But it is just very. But that's the thing. It's always been hampered with Sweden, where when you talk about a team where from 2007 until present day, they haven't lost a round robin game. So they've always finished first place, and they've only won 3 gold medals in that time.
Hmm.
So it's just a lot of times they wind up, unfortunately, losing, you know, when it matters most and everything. And that's where it'll be, like, I think it's, as you know, to mention, it's 2020. But yeah, it definitely seems like that streak is going to come to an end now.
Yeah, it's in jeopardy, that's for sure. And I think before we move on to, I think the team that we think likely beats them in the round robin, I just want to give a shout out to an absolute unit of a player on Sweden.
Sorry. I made a big mistake there. I was reading the wrong team. No, sorry. Sweden's only won one gold medal in that time since 2000. Well, actually, Sweden's only ever won the World Juniors once. And that was in 2012.
That was when Mika Zibanejad scored the winner.
Yes, sir. And guess where that was? The tournament hosted.
Where?
Alberta.
Alberta. Got some, history does repeat itself sometimes, so you never know.
Ha, good luck with that one.
Too bad
there's
no Sens draft pick on the team, though.
I guess you're right. Hey, that's a rarity. I guess that's that shows you that the Brian Murray era has officially ended in Pierre Dorion as U.S. players only, right?
No, and his Finnish players, too. Shout out to Järventi, lighting it up over there.
Järventi is IKS Sweden.
I think that you just offended Finland, not Sweden. But just before we move on to looking at the USA, I just want to give a shout out to an absolute unit of a man in Elmer Söderblom, who is 6'7", 230 pounds. Whether he actually plays, we'll see. He'll probably get buried on the fourth line if he's a big, slow guy. But if he is a big guy that hits and is physical, I cannot wait to see that dude crash into some people on the ice.
Yeah, no, absolutely there. It's it'll definitely be interesting times for Sweden coming along here. But, you know, you're looking at, 12, 13-year streak of finishing first and coming to an end because of COVID.
Yeah, they're going to be looking at playing they're going to be looking at playing a Canada or a Finland in the quarterfinals, which they're not used to. So we'll see how that kind of all rolls around.
Yeah, we'll move along here to the last team here. The COVID favorites, where they always want to be first in every category imaginable and possible of attaining. We are referring to the college-held college-level players and everything here, where they only allowed their college players to go only for USA and nowhere else. Well, if you guys are... Okay, never mind. Scratch all that out. And we'll move along here to the coronavirus favorites, Team USA, where they love being first in any and all categories. Team USA, where their cheering and selection is being able to pronounce three letters.
Ha.
How are they looking right now?
They're really good. I mean, starting from the back, Spencer Knight, Logan Stein, Dustin Wolf. I mean, Knight and Wolf are having themselves some seasons and... You know, that's no surprise in net for them. Just probably the second best starter in the tournament, you could say, after Askarov. And they're both in the same group, which is kind of ironic.
Well, and Spencer Knight being the 2019 first-round draft pick of the Florida Panthers there, too. You know, even he's been lighting it up recently in his college season this year. Night and day, he's just been on top of his game.
I caught that. Tibet is so slow with puns in the last couple of weeks that I'm catching them. Don't you worry.
At a goalie here. We're last year and beginning of this year for college hockey. Spencer Knight has a record of 27-8-2.
Oof.
You know, save percentage is around one. Or sorry, his goals allowed average over this two seasons is 1.73, and his save percentage is 0.944.
Oof.
Sure, he's playing against college players and all, but, you know, he was also showed that he could compete very well in the tournament last year with USA, and now he gets the full-on reins here. And as you mentioned, you know, Logan Stein and Dustin Wolf are, you know, not same level and tier as Spencer Knight, but they're going to be known probably in a few years in the NHL there, too.
Well, I mean, it was he was the 2020 CHL goalie of the year too in the WHL because he plays in Everett, if I recall correctly, and didn't he have the best like save percentage and goals against in the league?
You're talking about Carter Hart?
No, I'm talking about Dustin Wolf in the Western Hockey League.
Oh yes, yeah.
Yeah, which is, I mean, just to hear that. No,
Carter Hart was on, well, maybe he was on Everett. Let me just rekindle my mindset there.
Yeah, but I mean, even just going back to Dustin Wolf as you double check that, it's just amazing to have that type of player. Right, yeah, it's just amazing. Like, you hear that player as your backup after the guy that is probably the second best goalie in the tournament. I mean, that's not a bad thing to have. It just starting in your back end, and then, you know, as you kind of start to move from the goaltending position to the guys in front of the keepers in the defensive zone. I mean, you can't go wrong with many of the players there. And I think as an Ottawa Senators fan, we're only over the moon to see Jake Sanderson's name there playing for Team
and
USA
Tyler Cleven as well.
Yeah, of course. Both 2002 borns and both big lads who like to lay the body and be physical, but also play amazing two-way games. So it's, I'm just so excited to see these kids play. It's one of those things where I never cheer for the USA, and I never really cheer for anybody except for Canada, obviously. But this year, I kind of have to pull for some of these guys that are playing on the US team because of the fact that they're draft picks from Ottawa. It's just going to be fun to follow them and see how they do.
Oh, absolutely. And you also got your Cam York as well in the back end there. One of the, you know, better names, and Hunter Skinner as well in the back ends. And even Brock Faber as well. Like, it's a very good, you know, looking team and everything on their back, or very good looking on the back end there. It's a lot of beauties there. And as we mentioned, you know, you look at their forwards and quite a good number of returnees, and your Cole Caulfield, your Alex Turcotte, your Trevor Zegras, you know, and, you know, one name to really look out for here is Matthew Beniers.
Yeah.
Due to the late birthday, he has to wait a year for his drafts, but he's a highly talented prospect going to next year's NHL draft, where he's looking to go top 10, middle first round and everything there.
Yeah, yeah. And, oh my God, just looking at this team, like, how do you not go, this is one of the most dangerous top sixes, ultimately, right? Like, Zegras, who I think he led the U.S. in points last year. You got Turner.
Well, not only that, but he was friggin' on the... He was, like, their 13th forward. He was their 13th forward, and he's leading the team in points. And it's like, all right, anytime you want to, you know, allow this kid to get a little more ice time, yeah. 9 assists in 5 games. And, again, he was pretty much played as, like, a fourth line, fifth. Because in these tournaments, you're allowed a 13 forward, so like even a guy sitting by himself on the bench there. But it's still just like, you know, so he's going to get a lot more minutes here now. Can't go wrong with Alex Turcotte as well, the LA Kings prospects. Just in general, like, you know, your Brendan Brisson, you know, your Bobby Brink, you got a name like that, you're an absolute beauty. Don't care what you say. Also, the fact that it's from Minnetonka, Minnesota.
Yeah.
But, what a name.
Yeah.
You know, even Arthur Kaliev, the sniper there, as well in the LA Kings farm system. You know, Sam Colangelo, the power forward that he is, drafted by the Anaheim Ducks recently. Like, this team is, they're looking pretty good up front. Maybe not so much offensively from their back end there. But like you said, their top six is looking pretty sexy right now.
Now, the one thing is, sometimes sexy is deceiving. So
yeah, it's called beer goggles.
Yeah, that or Wii goggles, doesn't matter which. But Tibet disagrees, evidently. But I just find it interesting. I look at the forward core; they are not a big team. You know, the forwards, they're not a big team. They have 3 guys under 5'10". I think the Russians only have 1. And I don't know that the Canadians have anybody. Like, you're looking at guys like Quinton Byfield's going to line up with them. Quinton Byfield's 6'4", 200, 210 pounds. Size, speed, skill to shut some of these American guys down. Like, will they be able to contend with the size if they run into Canada later? But I'm talking about the Russians, who are bigger than usual this year, like, and are full of skill and speed. What do you think there? You think that could kind of be an issue? I know that the world is going and transitioning to a smaller, faster game, but I just feel like teams like Canada and Russia will adapt, and just the guys that are 6'4 will get to the point where they're just as fast as the guys that are 5'10 at one point because of how well they train. And I think that's what Canada and Russia are almost going for now, instead of developing a bunch of Martin St. Louis.
Well, certainly one guy they're going to really be missing in that department is going to be John Beecher, where the 6'3", 209-pound forward is unfortunately tested positive with COVID, so he's having to miss out on the tournaments. But like you said, they're definitely a smaller team, and that's what a lot of people are raving about is their speed and their skill is to like that next level where they're able to get by on the bruising waves. It's also a fun aspect of it as well, where all these European teams and all their players, for this may not be known, but over in like Europe and everything there, they play on international ice, which is wider ice surfaces. So there's not as much like physicality seen in Europe leagues, and why they've always talked about speed and more skill and all that, and agility and endurance, because there's bigger ice surfaces, right? There's so much more area to move the puck and stick handle and skate it up and down ice, where it makes it difficult because it's not a smaller surface to be able to throw your weight around. So that's I think will be kind of interesting, where you having all these Europeans now coming into an NHL size rink in Edmonton, where it's a smaller surface, so tighter quarters for them. Again, this is where this American team would probably have better results if they're playing on a European international ice surface, because of their speed and their ability to use that time and space out there to their best tactic. But certainly here on the NHL size rinks, I think you'll see USA will do well. They'll definitely be contending, and with the players that they have, like this is also a team where unfortunately they couldn't get Jack Hughes brought back for the team, as the Devils weren't willing to release him there, and a few players on college teams weren't going to be allowed to be released to contend here as well. But I think they'll do fine, honestly, and they'll get all that hype and everything once they beat Czechia and Austria as well there. And Sweden will be a good test just because of Sweden's track record in round robin for sure. But I think you're going to see USA really push Russia for a top spot in that division there.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing because that is what is happening right now. You see all these smaller guys who are just so successful in the NHL. You got yourself like a Mitch Marner speed skill, who's one of the top players in the NHL now. But, you know, how long is it until training and performance and your 6'1" to 6'4" guys get that fast, you know? And then it eliminates your 5 foot, like teams being maybe between 5'10" and 6'1", more teams will be between 6'0" and 6'3". You know, like you're just going to get that. The transition naturally happens. And it's just interesting to see Russia and Canada maybe already there with their current teams, with how big they are, because some of those big guys are already quite fast. And I'm just wondering if we're already seeing a transition in the World Juniors, because Canada was smaller a couple of years ago than they were this year, and faster. I just hope that this isn't the USA lagging. Maybe they're just hoping to catch everybody off guard. I mean, I think that their top six is probably just about as skilled as Canada's. But will we start to already see a transition in hockey in the next couple of years, where these bigger guys are just as fast as the smaller guys? Well, I don't know, I'm just fascinated, you know, because my mind's already there. Just seeing the transition in the NHL since that massive lockout that we had in the late 2000s. It's just seeing the transition to where we are now. Well, what transition are we going to see this decade? Well, the evident transition is bigger guy who is just as fast as skilled than the smaller guy, and he will just eliminate the smaller guy again. You know, will that guy be able to be around? I mean, Marty St. Louis was an anomaly back in the day, right? Because so many guys were so big, but he was just so strong as well. But, you know, I don't know. It's fascinating. It's just the way that my brain works. I'm trying to think about, well, what's the next step in the NHL, and are we going to start seeing it on the World Junior stage?
Well, that's the thing. I think with certainly for this USA team, is they definitely have some real good talent up front in those top six forwards there, and like they've proven at previous international competitions and their own separate agendas on their other teams that they played with, and there's a lot of success behind this team and these players on their resumes already. So I think it's gonna be damn well good to see how well they're gonna come out and play in this tournament here. At least during the round robin, and then see how well it's. But that's also typical USA, right? Sometimes they either come out amazing and above, and you know, expectations, or they fall flatter than someone's flat line.
Yeah, you're not getting much flatter than that. You're going under, but negative, reverse, no heartbeat.
Like you're under the iceberg and the ice rink there and just sinking lower and lower.
Yeah, exactly. And they finished sixth last year, right? That was a pretty disappointing year for them last year around, if I recall correctly, right?
I mean, it's not disappointing for the world, but...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I don't disagree with you there. But still, you know, so that's kind of... If you had to pick your five in a row, what are your predictions? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through in this group.
Yeah, you know, I think it's... for my own predictions, I'm going to say, like... Austria will finish 5th. Czechia will finish 4th. As much as I want to say I could see Sweden finishing 3rd, I could almost see maybe Sweden potentially staying up there in top 2.
Okay.
God, yeah. No, it's...
It's hard, that top 3.
If Sweden still had like all their players or coaching staff, I'm sure they would finish 1st again. Yeah. Honestly, if it wasn't for, I think the big one would be between Russia and Sweden there, where, yeah, I think that outcome could be real interesting. But I think it's going to be, I could see, no, well, I don't know. And again, it's on like three, you know, it's a three-headed monster in between the pipes for all three countries as well.
I know.
But I don't know. If anything, I'm going to say Russia's going to finish 1st, Sweden will finish 2nd, and USA will finish 3rd.
Okay. Interesting. Okay, I will go... You know what? I'm going to say Marco Rossi's line is going to surprise Czechia.
So that's just Rossi?
yeah. So Rossi's going to surprise Czechia. Czechia's just going to shit the bed, and I think Austria's going to have the game. I'm going to put Czechia 5. This is just for fun, just because I just feel like maybe Austria has...
Because it's 2020.
Yeah, and they just came. I find coming up from that division and nobody giving expectations and you having that boost might be a good thing. I'm going to put Czechia 5, Austria 4. This is my heart speaking, not my brain. My brain would definitely put Austria last, but we're going with my heart here. We're going with Austria 5.
You just said Czechia 5.
Sorry, Czechia 5. I see my brain's already telling my heart not to do it. So we're going Czechia 5, Austria 4. USA 3, Russia 2. I'm going to hold Sweden to their standard.
Ooh.
And say they got this. in before Sweden loses game 1 against like Austria or something, and then I'm absolutely screwed.
First game's against Czechia there, so.
Oh, God. Okay, pressure's on. But I think that, you know what, I'm gonna lean the way of it brings them together. And that's it for me.
What about you, Tibet? What are your thoughts on how it's going to finish looking?
Starting from number 5, we have Austria. Number 4, Czech. Then Russia, then US, then Sweden. I think Sweden will take the way.
So reversed your 4-5.
Yeah, okay. Pretty much, yeah.
We're so going to get this wrong. This is going to be like USA...
Sweden will finish 5th.
Yeah, it'll be USA, Russia, Sweden.
Austria will take the division.
You think Russia is going to beat Sweden? Mikey, yeah. Home dogs?
I wish we could have taken a photo of Tibet's face when he asked that question, honestly, and just put it as the thumbnail. But Austria beating Sweden? But no. I we'll see. I mean, it's just going to be an interesting tournament because of everything that's been going on. Like, how stressed out, how anxious are teams because of everything that's been going on? I think we just have to wait and see. And it all starts in, in just under 2 weeks.
It begins on Christmas Day.
What a beautiful day to begin. Wow.
Well, normally it starts on Boxing Day the 26th, but this year they pushed it up.
Hey, and the good news is none of us technically do celebrate it, so we can all watch it together on, we can all stream it together and comment together, so that'll be fun. We'll see.
Well, it's in Edmonton too, so at least the time difference is great. It's not like in Russia where it's like, all right, 5 a.m. to watch Canada.
and Tibet makes sure, Tibet is...
that would be a good time.
Yeah, so they're 2 hours behind us, which is great. It'll be great for game times in general. Like, everything will be in the afternoon, so it'll
be all watchable. Beers and pizza and hockey.
What?
Beers, pizza, and hockey.
I can't hear Tibet again.
It's okay. He said beers, pizza, and hockey.
Ah, okay.
Do you not hear me?
Yeah, well, you know, so as we said, this is our part one of two parts. Next week, we'll cover the Pool A, which will consist of Canada, Finland, Switzerland, Slovakia, and Germany. But, you know, that's what our thoughts are on Pool B right there. And we'll have to wait and see on how correct and how wrong we are.
Yeah.
Sounds good, everybody. See you next week for part Pool A.
Yep. Check here, Mukhamdalen. Bye-bye.
See you later, everybody. We'll talk to you on the next shift.